Asa, and what about Asa? How he feels? It's fear, right? Come on, y'all. Don't leave me by myself. I feel like I'm out on my spiritual eye. Just floating away. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about Asa and how he started off right with God. But through the process of time, his dependency became more on flesh and man than God. Amen. So we're going to start off with 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Actually, we're going to work in the reverse. We're going to start off in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to first deal with his decline spiritually. And then we'll go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we will touch on a few other verses as well. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to read together verses 1 up to include verse 10. We read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll actually explain the other verses a little further. But the concern that we have is how we allow time to cause a spiritual erosion to take place. It's a gradual erosion. And when this erosion takes place, most of the time, because we're not spiritually discerning the Lord, we don't realize how bad we are. Amen. And some have gotten to the point that they have not been able to recover themselves, for the Bible says, from the snare of the devil. Amen. So what the devil likes to do is take our focus off of the main thing, which is God. Amen. And we begin to depend more on ourselves. Verse 1 reads, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah.
Then Asa brought up silver and gold
out of the treasure of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abelan, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his words cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And it came at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Israel, and not relied on the Lord thy God. Stop. The problem was that because thou hast relied on the king of who? Syria. And not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubians a huge host with many horses and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him.
Hereafter done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars.
Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, tonight we ask you to search every heart, Lord. Father God, search every mind. Lord, we pray through the Spirit that you discern what is the need of thy people. Then, Lord, send an answer. Lord, send us a remedy. Lord, send us help from thy holy hill. Now, Lord, speak on this evening and give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God will say unto the church. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, it wasn't until the what year of his reign? The 36th year of his reign. For 30-something years, Asa was a godly man. As it appeared, but we know that when this type of regression, this type of spiritual deterioration takes place, it doesn't happen all at once. But the actual manifestation of the decline or deterioration manifests itself after a while. The devil is shrewd, amen, in getting us to miss out with God. So verse 1 says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the Lord's house. That was the first indication. Amen. The things that had been dedicated to the house of God. The king, because he had lost his confidence in God, brought out the things that belonged to God. That's one of the first indications that we're, or anyone else, is in a spiritual decline. The sacred things of God, the things that we've dedicated to God, our lives, our testimonies, when we begin to negotiate with what is sacred to God. In our personal lives, that's an indication of a deterioration. Amen. So he brought out the things of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Benadad, king of Assyria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Keep going to verse 4. Verse 4. And Benahad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the city of Israel. Verse 5. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his word cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on, you relied on a man.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. One of the greatest dangers in our spiritual lives, when we go to man first and God second. That's a serious spiritual indication. Amen. He said, you have relied on the king of Syria, and that would have been all right if God had told him to do that. He said, but the real issue that you did not rely on who? The Lord thy God. As we said on Sunday, many of us are sowing seeds, but we're sowing them in the wrong places. A lot of us have confidence, but our confidence is waning away from God. Confidence is declining, amen, because we look at our situation and it seems to be getting worse. And we have to remember that with God, all it takes is for him to speak
word.
The word.
So we are like the apostles on a ship in the winds of adversity and the sea's glory. We get nervous because we don't really understand the course of the direction that God takes us. So the devil works hard to get us to lean away from God. The devil works hard to get us to get our confidence in an individual. Amen. Hold that in mind. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Our confidence, I don't care how bad it gets, should always be in God first. Yes, sir. Amen. The minute we start trying to plan outside of God, the minute we leave God out, that's a serious indicator. Verse 5 reads, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that... Can we read that together? Cursed be the man that what?
Trusted
in man. But the real problem is not just trusting in man, but what is? Flesh's heart and his heart departed from the Lord. This is what happened to King Asa. Early in his reign, Asa trusted God. Asa leaned wholeheartedly on God. Amen. But through the process of time, after he got victory, after he got comfortable, somebody said after he had arrived, he had wealth, he had riches, he had made himself a name to the point of many of the other tribes of Israel, because Asa was king of the tribe of Judah, and Judah and Benjamin were together, but many out of the other tribes fell to Asa out of abundance, not just a few, because they saw that the Lord his God was with him. When? Early. In the beginning. Amen. That's why the scripture says the race is not to the swift. Amen. Neither the battle to the strong. But unto him that what? That keeps the beginning of his confidence steadfast until the end. Yes. Yes, a lot of us had confidence in the beginning. A lot of us love God in the beginning. Amen. As we even look around the church today, there are saints that should be here, but they're losing their confidence in God, losing reliance in God. So he said the number one problem is you're trusting in man. Amen. Now you have made arm your, you made flesh your arm, but the real problem is in the heart. Amen. What he said, his heart has what? Departed from the Lord. He said, this man is what? Cursed. Amen. Saints of God tonight, whatever you're going through, don't trust in flesh. Don't trust in your abilities. Don't trust in man. Let us go to Psalms 118. We'll come back to 2 Chronicles 16 in just a few minutes. Go to Psalms 118. Where tonight, in our quest for help, where is our confidence? Amen. Indeed, who are you relying on? We know we haven't, but this is just, like I said, when we send the tape out. Have any of our hearts began a decline away from God? Have any of us began to look at the storms, began to look at the wind, and have allowed the adversity? Have we allowed the hardships? The problem is not the flesh. It starts down in the heart. The scripture says, eventually out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Amen. So when we see, it's a river, it's revealed the inner being. When they start speaking, it's a spiritual indication of what's in the heart. And God has given every seed of God the spirit of discernment. Well, how do we know that? Because he is that spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost, God has given you the spirit of discernment. Now, what we tend to do is we rely more on trying to understand through the flesh and not through the spirit. Verse 1 reads, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever." Let Israel now say his mercy. Lord, thank you for mercy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for mercy. Instead of God giving us judgment, he gives us mercy. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. Let them that now fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. I call upon the Lord in Lord, thank you, Jesus. That the scripture says his ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. He answered me and sent me in a large place. The Lord is on
my side.
Hallelujah, Lord, thank you. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man
do?
I said the Lord is on our side. We shall not fear. What can man do unto me? Do you know a lot of people are under a spiritual hardship and spiritual burdens, not because of God, but because of fear of what man can do? Fear of what they may lose. Fear of the unknown. Amen. Lord, I would do this, but I'm afraid. How many know that you are a child of God? How many know we've been adopted by Christ into the spirit of the body of Christ, where we belong to God? And just like we as parents will watch and take care of our children, so will the Lord take care of us. He said, "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." It is
better to trust in the Lord.
Put the confidence.
It is
better.
Amen. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you're going through spiritually. Amen. But wherever you are, it is better to put trust in
Lord
than to put confidence in
man.
Some people say, why am I in the mental state? Why am I in the emotional state? Why am I in such a low state? Confidence in the wrong place. If your confidence in God, listen, God never changes. God is the same. God is still God. So when the change takes place in our lives, we force ourselves on an emotional low. Amen. It's not God. Confidence in the wrong place. When you can't be honest with yourself and anyone else, confidence in the wrong place. So he said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You ever look back and say, you know, years ago it wasn't like this? Then it's time to do a spiritual examination. Years ago, what were you spiritually doing for God? Amen. Somebody said, well, years ago I didn't have so much stuff involved in my life. I didn't have children. I didn't have this. That doesn't change. God is the same. The Bible said, God changeth not. Because God doesn't change, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God remains constant. God is steadfast. God is the same. So the God that was there when you first got saved, the God that was there through your initial salvation is still the same God. The change is not in God. the changes in us. Amen. We've allowed our circumstances to divert our confidence. So now our confidence is in man and not in God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Tonight, we want to get back on relying on the Lord. Is that right? We want our confidence to be in whom? God. Because he'll never leave us, neither will he. Wait, go to Hebrews chapter 13 first. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it's verse 5. Let's go through this, and then we go back to Isaiah chapter 30. And don't worry, I'm on the clock. So I'm not going to keep you here too long. So I know where we are. But Hebrews chapter 13, and let's go to verse 5. Yeah, that's 5. We do 5, 6, 7, and 8. Amen. Of Hebrews chapter 5. Once again, our confidence must be in God. The psalmist said, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Who shall I fear?
Who shall I fear? Outside of God. That's what he means. The Lord is my light. Salvation means he's my deliverer. Whatever you're going through tonight, only God is your deliverer. Amen. So it gets confusing when people get to their worst trial and don't come to God. Won't come to church. When the scripture makes it plain, the Lord is my light and my salvation, my deliverer. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because the Lord was with me. The psalmist said, even though a host encamp against me, I will not fear the two that the devil is destroying the church. The two that the devil is destroying saints with is fear. If I do this, I might mess up. If God be for you, Lord, thank you. Lord, if you're my way maker, if God be for us, who can be against you? But the devil keeps getting us to rely on the arms of flesh. Let your conversation, which is conduct, be without covetousness or greed or I want. Mm-hmm. It's time to be content with what such things we have. And be content. Oh, that's a little too fast. Be content with what?
Such things as you have.
Well, why do you need to be content? Whatever you're going through, and all of us, guess what? We're all going through something. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that. Every last one of us, every person that's not here tonight that should be here, is going through something. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. For he has said, I will never.
Lord, thank you.
Who is this? The Lord. Mm-hmm. He said, I will. It's bleak. The outcome is uncertain. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Just be content with such things as you have, because God is faithful. Mm-hmm. And you can be guaranteed in the end he shall and will speak. Yes. Verse 6:3, so that we may sheepishly and cowardly say.
Holy thing.
So that we may what?
Holy.
Yeah. Now, when you read about this, now when you read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was another man, but there was a spiritual man. Amen. That spiritual man wouldn't even let the spell of fire burn up, pass on to them. It said everything they went in within the fire with, they came out with. Amen. Because God was with them. There's not a man. There's not a man. Whatever you're going through, there's not a man. There's not a man that could have shut the lion's mouth. There's not a man that could have parted the Red Sea. There's not a man that could have delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. So the question is, if God has done all of this, and what God told the children of Israel, he said, because you could not help yourself, he said, I delivered you on eagle's wings. You know what that means? God said, because you couldn't help yourself, he said, so don't put your confidence in man. He said, Lord is my helper. Anybody know God is your helper? Anybody know God is your way maker? Amen. Whatever you're going to do, just trust in the Lord. Amen. With all of your heart. And stop leaning to your own understanding. Your understanding is on the flesh. Your understanding is reliance on man. Your understanding is reliance on your own ability. But I'm not trusting in a man. I'm not trusting in myself. My confidence is in God. Now this is what the devil do even in marriage. Oh, well, you know, if she does this, you might lose her. Our confidence has to be in God. Well, if you do this, he might leave. Your confidence has to be in God. Well, I'm in a quandary. It's hard. But if I make the right decision, I might lose this. Who you trust? Where's your confidence? Who are you leaning on? Who are you depending on? You gotta always do the right thing in God. Hallelujah. Can I say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Come on, can we get a hallelujah? Can I give God the praise? When nobody else can help me, love lifted me. When nobody else can see me. Considering the end of their conversation. This conversation always means their conduct, how they carry themselves. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the what?
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Oh, thank you. I don't know nobody else. I said I don't know anybody else that has that kind of testimony. I don't know anybody else that can do what God can do. Therefore, my confidence has to be in God and not in. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 30 now. Tonight, we don't want to rely on the Lord. Decisions that we make out of fear. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, a shepherd, Lord, what are we afraid of? Shepherd means he watches, he protects, he keeps, and he puts up a shield to keep the enemy away from you. So the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know he's your shepherd?
Hallelujah.
Then have confidence in him. Amen. You know, the sheep don't have to go ask the shepherd, well, are you going to do this? Because God knows how to take care of his business. It says, when you start trusting in flesh, when you start having confidence in man, we read earlier, when that confidence and that trust come, our hearts do what? Depart. To depart means they start separating. And instead of drawing nigh to God and God drawing nigh to you, we start drifting. You know, one of the dangerous things about drifting is sometimes when you're drifting, you know, it's like, I don't know, if years ago, out on the Mohawk, the guys were fishing. They turned off the motor and they were drifting. But they didn't pay attention to where they were going, but they just let the current take them. And then eventually the current took them right under the dam, and they all drowned because the water filled up the boat and they couldn't get in. Well, that's what happened to us a lot of our times in life. When you start drifting, you never drift toward safety. Because the current that's now controlling your life is not God. That current is a destructive current. So when you stop going towards God, there's no middle ground. As the book of Revelation says, you cannot straddle the fence. So once you start trying to straddle the fence, satisfying yourself, satisfying the devil, satisfying the world, you begin to drift. It's a departing from God. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. But what? When we start taking counsel, I don't care who we are, how we get, how spiritual we are. When we start taking counsel, but not of God. God calls us what kind of children?
Rebellious.
It's in the book. I didn't say it. When we start taking ungodly counsel, we lose our blessing. Why? Because blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, they've been my best friends for years. That's all right. But where is God? I've depended on them for years. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a... In other words, God said you enter a covenant or agreement. Amen. It doesn't have to be in church. You know, you have some of those friends say, you know what? I know what you're going through, and I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to try to help you out. I'm not going to let nobody in the church or nobody else know about it. He said, have a covering, cover or not covering, but not of mine. Keep God involved. Once you start developing those covenants, those agreements, and coverings, and God's not involved, he said, that's a rebellious child. Amen? He said, but that they may add, it's in the Bible. Once we stop taking counsel of God, once we rebel against God, once we start entering those little secret things, he said, once you enter those covenants, and that covering is not of my spirit, you just adding sin unto sin. Amen? It's in there. You don't have to say it, but it's in there. That walk to go down into Egypt have not asked. God said, now, you should know better as my people. How are you making counsel mean you're in a serious decision making area? And you made the decision, he said, but you didn't ask of me. Amen? Bible is clear. And have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, which is always, and Egypt is symbolic of what?
The world.
Pharaoh and Egypt is symbolic of the world. So you don't know what to do, but now you are relying on the world. That's why Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but stay in God. Keep him involved. How? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 3 reads, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh... Yeah, you're trusting in the world, you're trusting in all of that God, and he says it's not going to bring anything but shame. And trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your... Have you noticed that when you went outside of God, you were nothing but shame and confused? from God. For his princes were exalted and their ambassadors came to Hades. They were all ashamed of a people that could not. Listen, the world needs help. Don't go to the world for help. The Bible said we are a city that is set on
a
hill. A light that cannot be hid. So if we are the light, how in the name of God are we going to darkness for help? Amen? It doesn't work like that in God. A people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame, and also a... How are you going to someone that doesn't even know the Lord for help? How are you, who are the light of the world, going to darkness for help? He tells me, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate. He said, what fellowship has light with darkness? It doesn't work. You can't knock it. I don't care how much you try to force, it will never work. It will always bring you shame and confusion. Yes, you'll put on the front, but down on the inside where nobody can see, God knows. Amen? The burden of the beast of the south in the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fire flying serpent. They would carry their riches upon the shoulders of their young donkeys and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people.
Shall not profit them.
God said, you just give them the world everything, and the world cannot profit you. Amen?
Amen?
You're giving them everything, your riches, your wealth, you just go to them for everything. He said, the world can't profit you. And I don't care if they can give you $100 million, that doesn't profit you in the day of salvation. The only thing that counts is God. Verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in
Amen.
The world is vanity, and to no purpose. Therefore, I cry concerning this, their strength is to, let's go to Isaiah chapter 31. It's time to just be still and know that he is our strength. Be still. The world can't profit you because they can't help themselves. Amen. The only thing that counts, Paul said, is that your name is written in the Lamb's
book
of life. In the end, it's not where you live, it's not what you drive, it's not the clothes you have on, but it's that you're saved. That our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, woe to them that go to the world, down to Egypt, to the world for what?
Help.
What? Woe! That's a warning. Amen. I don't know if any of us have been given it now about time to go back out into the world for help, but God says, woe. Woe is a warning. It's an indication that there's trouble. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are
many,
and in horsemen because they are strong. But the real spiritual indicator is they have stopped looking
to the Holy One.
They stopped looking to who?
The Holy One of Israel.
Neither do they seek
the Lord.
The Lord. We're going to get back to Asa in a minute. Neither do they seek the Lord. Verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men and tonight are we relying more on man than God? What do we really rely on? Where is our confidence? Amen. When the rubber meets the road and we have to make our decision, is it based on God or man? He said, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not
spirit.
Saints, we must rely on God's spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hopeless. other words, he's saying everyone that's helping and trying to get help will fall. Why? Because they're not trusting in God. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And we're going to lead up to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In your spare time, read Psalms 146 verse 3 and read all of Philippians chapter 3. I just cut off a whole half hour of my message. Oh, good, because I almost out of time. All right, so this is your time. Read Psalms 146 verse 3 and read Philippians chapter 3. Paul talks about all the things that he gave up for Christ. Why did he give up? He said, that I may know him. Amen. Not just a knowledge mentally, but it's a relationship, an intimate relationship with God. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. The Bible says, we that live daily, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. Every day we should be dying out to ourselves and become a more alive unto God. I don't want to read all that. Let me skip some of it. Go to verse 2. I read from my Bible. I'll go fast. Verse 2. It said, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. This is when he was in the beginning and his heart was right. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and commandments. Also he took away out of the city of Judah the high places and the images. Everything that was contrary to God, he said he took it away. And as a result, the kingdom was quiet for 10 years, it said. Now let's skip down to verse 9. It says, and after a while, there came out against Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000, which is what?
A million.
All right, so 1,000,000 is coming against Asa and Judah. And Asa went out to meet him and set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa, this is when he was still strong in God. Asa cried unto who?
The Lord.
His confidence was not in the flesh. And said, Lord, it is nothing with thee, whether with many or with them that have
no power.
God was his dependency. He relied on God. He said, for we rest in thee. Asa had about 600,000, but the Ethiopians and the Libyans were over 1,000,000 strong. And they had 300 chariots. So when they looked out, they were nothing against that enemy. But he said, Lord, we rest in thee. I'd like to know tonight, who are we resting in? He said, we rest in thee, and against that day we go against this
multitude.
O Lord, thou art our
God.
Hallelujah. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopian before Asa and before Judah. Now let's go down to chapter 15. Chapter 15. So we start at verse 1. Now, he's dependent on God. God delivers him. God makes a way. But God saw something in Asa. So he sent the man of God to him. In verse 1, he says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with
you.
While you be
with him.
With him. Amen? Now, he could have talked about all that God has done. He said, now, wait a minute. You have victory. Yes. God has made a way for you. He said, but the Lord is with you while you be with
him.
So know what it is for us. He said, and he will be found of you. Now, why would God send this message? He said, but if you, he will.
Thank you.
God was sending a message to Asa. He said, Asa, even though God is blessing you, there's still something that is gnawing down on you. Be careful. Don't get to the point where you forsake God, because once you forsake God, he will. The man of God did not see it. But the scripture said, God seeth not as who? Yes, we smile, we jump. God said, I see your heart, and I see it's a decline. It's a slow departure away from me. Next verse, read. No, I don't want to read this one. Let's skip down a little further. Hold on. I don't want to read that. Let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, and when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took
courage
and put away the abominable idols out of all of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord. Now from after Solomon's demise, the kingdom was split. And both Israel and Judah went into spiritual decadence. Asa is the first to bring about a spiritual reformation. So in God blessing and God warning him, he gets rid of everything, all the idols, all the grove, all the pagan ungodliness, and he renews the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in the bondage. Why? They saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month and in the what?
15th year.
Early in his reign, he was still on fire from God. Amen. Anybody saw him on fire? Mm-hmm. Where we come to now? Time. Tests, trials, and terrors, cause our faith to be rolled. Verse 11, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their souls, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel shall be put to death, whether they were small or great. Well, they were serious about God. Amen. When he heard the prophecy of Oded the prophet, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with
all their heart.
And saw the Lord what?
Hold.
That's when you know you're all right with God. You're not holding back anything. Saw them with all their heart and with their whole desire. Amen. And he was found in them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, and this mother means she was really his grandmother. Amen. Asa was serious about God in the beginning. He had to wonder, Lord, what happened through the years? So this is the 15th year. His grandmother, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook of Kidron. She had set up an ungodly, pornographic idols. Asa meant business from God. So he cut it down and stamped it, and he said, I'm sorry, Grandma, you can't be queen anymore. Why? Because his stand was for God. What relationships are we tolerating? Now, we have to love our family members, yes, but we should never allow our family, whoever or whatever they may be, calls us to be confident with God. The reason Asa made the stand is because his grandmother caused him to be in a spiritual conflict with God. Amen. Now let's go to chapter 16. The question is, how in 21 years did this ungodly man change? Because remember what the prophet told him? He said, the Lord is with what? You, while you be with him. With him. Tonight, the Lord is with you while you be with him. As long as your confidence is in him. But the minute you forsake the Lord will also forsake you. All right, let me read this closely. Let me skip down because I'm on overtime. I'm on overtime. Amen. Let's go to verse 7. Amen. We read earlier. We know that what Asa did, he took out of the Lord's house, his own house, and went to the arm of flesh for help. Amen. And at that time, another man of God. Now, the first man of God came, he took courage, right? He made everything right. But what happened in 21 years? What was happening down as he had arrived and as he had reached his high plateau? Amen. God eventually had been removed from his heart. So at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubians a huge host? Amen. He said, with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou what? Because you did, you remember Asa, you couldn't even come against them. That's why you went to the Lord and said, Lord, we need your help. With you is nothing, Lord, you can deliver by few as well as by many. He said, Lord, let not man, amen. If you have some stuff in your life, say, Lord, don't let man prevail. We rest in thee, and in thy name, we go against whatever's coming against us. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll do it. He said, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the what? All
earth.
Is Troy part of the earth?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Is Troy part of that?
Yes,
so his eyes, is Albany part of that?
Yes.
Schenectady?
Yes,
where we got somewhere else to live? Well, yes, you live if you live. Is that part of the whole earth? And God is looking for you to show himself strong. But there's a condition for God to show himself strong. And in behalf of those whose hearts are what? Yeah, we might be perfect toward a lot of things, but how about God? He said, herein thou hast done foolishly. You went away from God. You put the confidence on him, her, this, that. He said, that was foolish. You went away from God. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. What is this? The other one took courage and had a spiritual reformation. 21 years later, what happened? What changed? What spiritual decadence has taken place in Asa that he's hearing the man of God now, but he put him, he was wroth with the man of God. Asa, he's giving you God's word and you're mad? Amen? That's an indication of a spiritual decline. And put him in a prison house where he was in a... Lord, have mercy. How are you going to get that upset with God because you're wrong? Trusting in the wrong thing. I'm not going back to church, don't call me. Trusting in the wrong thing. He was in in a rage with him because of this thing. And at the same time, Asa's action caused the people to have problems. Verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they're written in the book of the king of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year, 3 years later, that's a good thing about God. He gives us space to what? Repent. God did not move right away. He gave Asa time. 36, now the 39th year of his reign, we're going to find out, did Asa's heart improve or did it get worse or stay the same as far as God? In the 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet. Until his disease was? Lord, what else can you do to get our attention? Yet in his disease, still did not seek the Lord, but to the trusting in man, trusting in the flesh. Next verse. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the what?
140th year.
God gave him 5 years. Still could not get it right. Amen. Let us stand. Tonight is all about relying on God. Amen. Don't allow your situation. And you know, some people, yes, some of us are going through some serious hardships. Amen. It's time to come to Jesus. Don't go away from the Lord. Don't allow, as we all stand in favor of sin, don't allow whatever you're going through to cause your heart. You know, they said, well, they backslid. We should have saw this. Backsliding doesn't happen all at once. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual working. As with Asa, God tried to correct Asa in the 36th year of his reign. 41 years later, he still has not repented. He still had not seen that he was not where he used to be. He still could not see that his reliance and dependency was no longer on God. That his heart has departed from God. If we do anything tonight, saints, stay with God. You know, in Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah, they called him the eagle-eyed prophet, when he saw the judgment. They said, when you looked on Satan, he said, are you the man? He said, I thought it would have been something else. He said, are you the man that caused me to go to this place of torment? If God were to have judgment on any of us tonight, and I pray to God that we are searching our hearts and minds, if God were to come right now in all of our personal situations, and he would say, well, tonight your soul is required of you. And then as we begin to reason with God, if he says, well, with our soul, and that you are on the Lord's side, we can shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But if we can't say from our hearts that we're saved, what would be the indictment against us? Will it be a job? Will it be I needed a house? Will it be I needed more money? Will it be I needed another car? Will it be an individual? What would be that one thing that keeps you out of heaven? Is it worth it? Well, the Lord says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is eternal. Don't listen to these people that you die, you sleep, and be in bliss. No, your soul is eternal. And your soul is going to live forever somewhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 gives the thing. He said, now, you do all that you want to do. Live however you want to live. But know this, for all